In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you will know that I was Dean of Chapel when this space was dedicated, that I was part of the acquiring of sculptures, that I was part of the committee that prepared the windows. I'm very blessed to have had that happen to me, and today I'm honored to present a message on the praise of angels. If you want to learn how to pitch a baseball or to paint a portrait, you can learn a lot from someone who's been doing it for years, for decades, and in the case of angels, centuries and millennia. Revelation 5 gives us a picture of heavenly praise. So do these windows. They depict angels with instruments as though they were accompanying singers. Some might say, too many angels, and their wings are extending everywhere. But an artist had to figure out how to give a picture of spiritual beings, agents and messengers of God. So he uses clear glass for the spirit beings and colored glass for the human forms, the flesh and blood world. And the angels with instruments are there to draw us into the heavenly celebration. Who are these heavenly musicians? What do their instruments symbolize? And what is their special vocabulary for praising God? The Bible doesn't tell us much about the angels. We do know that God gives them power. No lion harmed Daniel when the angel held the lion's mouth shut. After Pentecost, when the apostles were preaching in the temple and were thrown into prison, God sent an angel during the night to open the prison doors so they could return and again speak words of life in the temple. We also know that God sends angels with messages. To Abraham, when he did not sacrifice his own son Isaac, God sent Gabriel, who announced that God would bless and multiply Abraham's offspring, as many as the stars and as the sand on the seashore. In Caesarea, an angel said to Cornelius, "Go fetch Peter from Joppa, and he will explain that the gift of the Holy Spirit is now poured even on the Gentiles." We also know that angels continually praise the Lord. Some do not. Satan and his group rebelled. They lost their place in heaven and are destined for eternal fire that God has prepared for them. They have no interest in praising God. Now they come among us disguised as angels of light, prowl around and entice us into disobedience and away from Christ. We need to resist them and to repent when we fall. For repentance leads to joy. When Jesus told about the woman who lost the coin and then found it, he also said, "There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Because Jesus has rescued us from the power of sin and paid the price for our forgiveness, we want to join the angels and celebrate this victory. These windows remind us, even urge us, to express joyful praise to God. Now notice that some of the angels play stringed instruments, harps, other plucked strings, even violins. And like David's harp, it could cause an evil spirit to depart from a troubled King Saul. The angelic instruments provide rhythm and pitch to accompany singing. God instructed King David to organize Levitical musicians to play lyres and harps and also cymbals. There is one in one of those windows. So that they could lead the song of Israelites in the temple ritual. In fact, Psalm 150 calls for trumpets, harps, stringed instruments, pipes, cymbals, and everything that has breath to praise the Lord. Revelation 5 has a similar vision. Before the Lamb, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, each hold a harp and a bowl of incense, and many angels join myriads and myriads and thousands of angels. So as redeemed sinners, we too want to participate in these heavenly songs. So angels, strum and fiddle, lead our singing. Other angels play trumpets. Recall that when Israel made it to Mount Sinai and they were to receive the words of the Lord, they experienced thunder, saw lightning and clouds, and heard the voice of an exceedingly loud trumpet. God instructed Moses that only the priests could play the silver trumpet or the ram's horn. To warn Israel, or to gather Israel, to sound forth at the feasts, at the offerings of peace or burnt offerings, or when moving the Ark of the Covenant. So it's not surprising that at Jericho, when the seven priests led the procession around the city, and on the seventh day, they blew seven ram's horns and the people shouted, the walls came down. And when Jesus comes again, the trumpets will sound for his return. And we look forward to that day and we say, O Lord, come soon. Let us hear those angelic trumpets. So the images of angels with instruments remind us of God's nearness and invite us to sing praise. They help us remember the words of the Lord. It's not surprising then that when Paul instructs his Colossian Christians, he says, let Christ's words dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing each other, and singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Angelic songs teach us something about the heavenly praise vocabulary. In Isaiah 6, the seraphim call to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy refers to divine perfection, God's essence. He is unlike anything else, totally different. But holy also extends to what is consecrated to God. And to those who trust in the Lord and are called out of the world, the church, ecclesia. Once a rebellious and unclean people, we now, because of Jesus' perfect obedience and bloody sacrifice, stand purified in God's presence. By faith in Christ, we're declared holy. In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. And by Jesus' word, we are led by the Spirit. In the Te Deum, then, we incorporate the angel song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory." Before we receive the Lord's body and blood in the Holy Supper, we sing angelic words, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory." And there we have the second word, glory. The angels in Isaiah 6 and those who announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds sang of God's glory. That is, his splendor, his radiance, his reputation by his mighty acts. Jesus' death established his glory. He was raised by the glory of the Father. His body became glorified. He was taken up in glory, and he now sits at the right hand in glory. He is the Lord of glory and will come again in glory. And we who have new life through him, we will appear with him in glory. Third word is worthy, and it shows up in Revelation 5. It is the new song about the Lamb. He is worthy. Not the elders, not the 24, not the living creatures, not the angels, not any of us who've been made righteous by God. We deserve only shame and dishonor and punishment. Only Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb, is worthy. By his dying, by his rising, he rescued us from everlasting damnation, and we become his people, priests to our God. The new heavenly song is about the very worthy Lamb. So, as the light from above streams through these clear glass and colored glass windows, be filled with joy. Let the angelic musicians remind you that God reigns and he is nearby with his mercy. And now, already here on earth, in concert with the angels, let your voice sound forth in praise. For Christ, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is worthy of all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.